Ladies and gentlemen, no maps, no memorization, no multiplication tables, no dates, no memorizing poetry, no foreign languages. The goal of all these gimmicks and many others is to kill off big swaths of knowledge, of content, of information the student should know. And once you learn the pattern, everything makes sense. You can predict what our education establishment will do. For example, how will they deal with survey courses? The criticism you often hear is that these are shallow, moving haphazardly from one decade or country to another. These efforts are not deemed legit enough for college or even high school. But what are the professors really accomplishing? They don't seem to like the fact that millions of ordinary students with no special academic ambitions suddenly could learn the sweeping outline of history. World history. Don't think the weird elves in charge of our schools are going to allow anything to happen in a fast, efficient way. Some brave professors are now urging that we become reacquainted with survey courses. That's good, but I predict they will be polluted with heavy admixtures of CRT and the perennial profundity that the U.S. is evil. Here are two quotes from a conference. Open quote. A lot of professors don't want to teach a survey course, but I take the opposite view, says Kyle Longley, the distinguished professor of history at Arizona State University. It's an opportunity to recruit majors. Longley spoke during a session on teaching the U.S. history survey in a global context. It doesn't mean abandoning U.S. history, but rather situating key events, ideas, and figures within a more international context. So parallels may be drawn between the Jim Crow U.S. South and South Africa under apartheid, for example. Laura A. Belmonte, chair of history at Oklahoma State University and co-author of a new textbook, Global Americans, said the global dimension also helps students re-examine aspects of U.S. history with which they are already familiar. It's a different spin, she said. They have to fundamentally rethink things. Close quote. I argue that we should teach as much as we can, but forget the politics and indoctrination. Lots of knowledge as quickly as possible from K to 12. That's a concept that the education establishment treats as an enemy. They seem much more comfortable teaching a little over long periods of time. If you keep watering down wine, finally you don't have wine. That's been the pattern in our schools. I remember many years ago hearing people criticize survey courses because they are superficial. I thought, yeah, that could happen. But these people wanted to give up all such courses, and then the children had no education instead of some. Even when I was young and foolish, I sensed a dirty trick was played there. Without the survey course, the average student learned nothing, close to nothing, predictably so. Instead of making history about each professor's socio-political opinions, the professor should work to make instruction more memorable. The main ways to make learning easy is to start in kindergarten with maps and posters on the walls, showing beguiling pictures and captions, constant direct instruction to the students, quizzing the students, and having competitions and discussions. Every day, teachers go to various maps and discuss something in the world, something maybe far away, Sri Lanka or Antarctica. Doesn't matter. As the months go by, these kids will become geniuses if compared to today's empty-headed students. Young people, especially studying for exams, often wonder if there's not some secret trick for mastering lots of material quickly. Not exactly. The trick is to forget quick and focus on this wisdom. Knowledge is cumulative. In closing, massive walls are made from many little bricks. Corny? Never mind, it's still the ultimate truth. Thank you.
Overview. Let's Fix Education explores seven of my favorite themes. First, this podcast is a meditation on what I call the K-12 crime scene. So many destructive ideas. Understanding them is the key to fixing them. Two, by doing that, we will have better schools at less cost. Three, nothing much changes decade to decade. The big questions of the 1930s were the big questions of the 1960s and the 1990s. Any subject we discuss can easily intersect with any other subject. Most people instinctively want traditional education, but the education establishment fills classrooms with progressive gimmicks. The result is that we have a standoff, and that's why you run into the same ideas over and over. 4. The big brains in education keep telling students, don't bother memorizing this or that. You can look it up later. B.B. King, the great guitarist, is much smarter. He said, the beautiful thing about learning is nobody can take it away from you. 5. Lenin's ghost wanders through our school system. The hard left thinks big. If they have to kill millions of people to build their perfect society, that's okay. Same goes for dumbing down millions of students. Totalitarians want power. They will do anything to get it. 6. If we are going to survive, we have to take each child to his or her limit. As it is, we are creating millions of sub-educated students, from K right through college. 7. Analyzing education, especially dysfunctional education, is a lot more intellectually interesting than most people suppose. You'll enjoy this. Finally, P.S. My book, Saving K-12, runs parallel to everything discussed on this podcast. I also have an education site, improve-education.org, with 70 articles that complement everything discussed here. And I have hundreds of articles on the internet. Enter a topic in Google with my full name, Bruce Dietrich Price, and let Google make suggestions. Thank you for visiting.